Digital Photography Tips from the Top Floor, show number 45, August 5th, 2005.
Podcasting for the digital photographer.
Hey, this is Nick Zalas from sunny Greece, and welcome to Tips from the Top Floor.
This is Tips from the Top Floor. And here's your host, Chris Marquardt.
And you're in for a treat again. Hello and welcome to the show. This is Chris Marquardt, podcasting from the top floor in Tübingen, southern Germany. And it's a very, 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 very long show today. I think it'll be almost 30 minutes. So I think this is probably about the longest one I've ever done, but I guess it's worth it. I have Stephen George on the show. He is a professional press photographer, and he'll give us some really interesting insights and also has quite a few good tips and tricks for you, so it'll be worth your time. But before we dive into the interview, just a quick thing about Podcast Alley. As every month they have reset their votes to zero for each show, so if you like this show and you have a minute, I'd really appreciate if you could vote for the show. The link is on the website. Well, enough of that vote begging. Here's the interview. Hello, and with me on the phone, or actually on Skype today, I have Stephen George, and he is the chief photographer of the Press Telegram at Long Beach, California. Steve, welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on your show.
Is it okay to call you Steve?
Oh, yeah. All my friends call me Steve. Exactly. Okay. You've got a great show here. I'm a big fan here.
Hey, thank you very much. Well, I'm glad to have a professional press photographer on the show. I mean, there's so many questions I always wanted to ask press photographers, because I think that's a pretty special job. So let's just dive into it. How did you get into being a professional photographer? I mean, it has to come from somewhere, right? It has to start away.
Well, yeah. Well, as a kid, I was always interested in photography. I borrowed my dad's old Kodak Pony 35 and kind of used that till it actually fell apart. And then in high school, with a lack of any photo classes there, I kind of dropped it until I got into college. And my original major was sound engineering. I actually wanted to be a recording engineer.
Oh, really?
It was something I was interested in. But while I was taking a beginning photography class there, wanted to get sort of home some of my black and white skills that I learned in junior high. At the end of the class, he mentioned that the college paper was looking for photographers. Originally, I thought, well, that sounds like a lot of fun, but I just don't have the time for something like that. And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, it sounds like a lot of fun, so I kind of made the time for it. It
looks like we have some similar background here. I mean, I'm a sound professional myself.
So. Yes, I understand that. That's really cool. I originally didn't plan on doing this for a career. For the first couple of years, I was doing it as a way to hone my skills with photography. But the more I got into it, the more I found I liked it. It was just a lot of fun. So I decided to make a career change and go in that direction. I never looked back. I'm real happy. I just love this job. It's just something different every day. It's just a lot of fun. You meet new people every day. And that's just great. And even after 20, 25 years, I never get tired of seeing my name in print. So it's just something to look forward to every day, actually.
So
I go to work looking forward to it, which is something that a lot of friends of mine wish they can do.
That's right. So being a press photographer, you get to go into all the concerts and events and things for free. And is that something cool about the job, or is it more something that, well, you have to do and there's a lot of stuff that you don't really want to do? So is it just a job, or how glamorous is the job?
There are days that I wind up shooting things that I really don't, I'm not looking forward to. I'm driving to the assignment and saying to myself that I can't believe they're having me shoot this. And then when I get there, I still wind up enjoying it and really getting into it. I'm driving back saying, those are cool photos. They better play those really well, because it wind up being a lot more fun that way. But there are also days when you come up with something on your own it's just a lot of fun to shoot. This type of job, like I said before, is you're meeting different people every day, get to do some of the real fun stuff. I've had this wonderful opportunity, for example, to when the Angels won the World Series, I got to shoot every home game that they're doing the playoff series. And that was just a blast. every day was just, I mean, it's a lot of work and a lot of pressure, because you got to make sure you don't miss the shot. You're on constant deadline. They want you to send the photos before you're ready, but it's just fun. And you get to, also on assignments like that, you get to meet friends of yours that you only get to see on special events like that or during disasters.
So I think, well, I believe that all of the work in the press world today is being done in digital. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Actually, ever since the Angels World Series, which was about 3 years ago, I've been all digital. I haven't been shooting film since then. When digital first started coming out, actually, it was kind of a two-step phase. Originally, it was the introduction of the Macintosh, the film scanner, and Photoshop. And we still shot film for years after that. So we kind of were able to get our feet wet and learn how that whole electronic process worked while still shooting with film. But then when the first few generations of digital cameras came out, the Nikon NC2000, which was the first one that was partially designed by AP, I hated that camera. I love technology, and I love anything that makes it faster and easier and just more cool to work with, but the quality was just terrible. And so I kind of got into this anti-digital camera frame of mind, and it wasn't until the later generations came out that they really improved on it. To the point where I actually really prefer shooting digital now. The cameras now are just phenomenal as far as the quality is concerned.
That's
and
right.
The ability to have the instant feedback is just a tremendous help.
From a process point of view, do you send pictures back through the network over Wi-Fi, or do you just send the cards in, or how do you actually do it? I mean, how is it done from a technical point of view?
Well, I carry my PowerBook or laptop with me when I'm going to assignments that I think I might be transmitting back to. We do all the work on there. I use a program for editing the photos, and then I bring them into Photoshop. From there, I do the color corrections, the burn and dodge, cropping, caption information there. And then from there, you have the opportunity to transmit it back into the office, either through my home Wi-Fi if I decide to shoot something and go home and transmit from there, or from the event. There are some photographers out there that have wireless cards that can transmit from anywhere in L.A. or Orange County.
So they basically transfer them the moment they shoot them, right?
Somewhat, basically. You do have the, particularly if you're on a really tight deadline and you need a quick turnaround, but you're still at the assignment, you're still shooting and trying to come up with a really good shot. You still usually have a decent amount of time to go back, do an edit, and then work on it a little bit in Photoshop, and then do the captions and transmit it in. And as easy as it sounds, that there is a time process in the editing and preparing the photographs for transmission.
Okay.
I wish it was just shooting and just banging it off there, but there is a fair amount of work there.
So actually, even the professionals do some editing. They don't get all the pictures out of the camera, and they can instantly be used. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, 98% of the time, I want to do my own editing, and I send them in or hand them in if I drive back to the office, and that's all they generally see. On certain events, other editors will get real involved and want to look at my other stuff, but most of the time, it's my own edit, which I'm fortunate to have that kind of freedom. Not every photographer and every paper has that kind of freedom.
Right, and you know what the paper is looking for, right?
In a lot of cases, I do. Many cases, I'm surprised when I get back and they'll say, "Steve, remember that surfing contest that I shot a couple days ago that was going to be inside and no story? Well, it's on A1 display now." And so you get surprised a couple of times. And but often you try to find out what it's for before you go out and shoot it. And it allows you to figure out how you want to shoot it and how much time you want to put into it. The spontaneity of the day is part of the fun. And sometimes you're able to pull things off. You surprise them sometimes. Hopefully more often than not.
Okay. So I've taken a look at your website and at your photography here, and there's some really outstanding work there. I'm really impressed. So how do you make sure that your creativity doesn't get lost by having to shoot things that, even though you mightn't like to shoot them, you have to?
Yeah, I've gone to assignments sometimes where I've told myself, well, they've even told me, just go there, shoot, get a quick shot. We just need something quick, basically. And I find when I get there, I kind of go into this automatic mode. I really don't know how to shoot something quick or shoot something bad, basically. I still am out trying to come up with the creative shot and work in the photo to come up with the best possible photo. I think part of that is the fact that your name goes with the photograph when it appears in the paper. and you're kind of back of your mind, you're telling yourself, my name's going to appear next to this. I got to come up with something that works on this. been kind of surprised the way I do kind of go into this automatic mode and constantly working the assignments, and you're looking for what makes this the story interesting.
So basically, well, that's along the lines of the assignments that I give out, which kind of forces people to be focused on a specific subject or a specific thing.
I noticed that. I love your idea of handing out the assignments and having people trying to come out in some way to make it work. It'd be wonderful if I just had the opportunity to only shoot what I thought looked good and when the lighting was perfect. But often I'm thrown into situations where everything just doesn't work and you got to find some way to make it work. Part of this automatic mode, you're looking at the subject, you're looking for the moment, you're looking at the lighting, see how to make the lighting work with you and not against you, you're looking at the background. I once went to a lecture from the National Press Photographers Association, and they had a photographer there from who was regularly shot for National Geographic. And I went to the lecture really looking forward to it because, you know, I was going to talk about the subject and everything, and when I got there, I spent the entire lecture talking about the background. How that's going to make or break your photograph, how it's going to distract from it or really add to it, how you basically, when you're looking at something, you're constantly asking yourself, do I move to the left, to the right, to up or down to make that work? And yes, you're constantly looking at the subject, waiting for the moment, but you're also looking at the background simultaneously and looking at how the light works with your subject. And all these things going on at once. And at the same time, you also have to think about the technical aspects as far as your shutter speed, your aperture, how it's going to affect the depth of field, and how you're trying to not interfere with what's going on while you're actually shooting it.
It's basically something that you'll have to automate, like learning to drive a car, right?
Yeah, exactly. When you're driving a car, basically, when you first learn, it's really a complicated process. And you're constantly trying to figure out the mechanics of it while simultaneously not driving off the road. But after you've done it for a few years, it becomes automatic, basically. And you're constantly thinking about what you're doing, but you don't always realize how much thought you're actually putting into actually driving or actually taking a picture. But it does come with time, yes.
Who is your main inspiration? Who was your main inspiration?
Well, there are the classic photographers like, you know, Dorothea Lange from the Dust Bowl days are good examples. But really, when I was starting out in this business, it was the local photographers who were shooting for the local papers, the Orange County Register, the LA Times, Richard Kohler, Carrie Renee Hall, Charlie Starr. They really, by watching them and other photographers, how they did things and how they were able to put their personalities into the photos that they shot. It was really an eye opener for me. And photographers today, Mark Boster, Wally Scalise of the LA Times, Mark Terrell, Chris Carlson of AP, Jeff Gritchen of the Press-Telegram, Lucy Nicholson of Reuters, they're shooting today and producing just wonderful work on a daily basis. Look at your daily newspapers. There's some really wonderful work in there. Now that I've mentioned all those names, I just realized that I'm going to have a lot of people mad at me that I didn't mention their name. Kind of feel like the Academy Awards where someone's on the stage there. And I need to, and I'd like to thank Daniel Anderson, Beatrice DeGia, Michelle Cardin, and Eugene Garcia, and my kids, Michael, Katie, Heather, Anna, and my wife, Jean. But I'm still going to get a lot of people mad at me about that one. But also,
to the show, that is.
Word gets around sometimes. Once someone realizes that people's names are mentioned on there, you'd be surprised about that. The grapevine works faster than the press quite often. But also on the internet, there are some wonderful sites to look at. Your local newspapers will often have photo galleries and pictures of the week to check out. There's some local ones in our area. There's PPAGLA.com, the Press Photographers Association of Greater Los Angeles. Go to their homepage, look on the left for the contest winners, and it goes back a couple of years. There's some wonderful work in there. There's NPPA10, that's NPPA10.org. It's a great site my coworker Jeff Gritchen put together. It has contest winners. It has links to other sites that have really good examples. Sportsshooter.com. There is this wonderful site that's put together, and the members basically are professional sports shooters. But without being a member, you can go on there and look at the examples of work there. They have all the members there each have their own pages with examples of their work. They have monthly contests, which has just great examples of work. And so it's a wonderful place to take a look at. There's also the wire services. Now, AP, for example, does not allow you access to the website without a login and password. I have one, but I don't think they would be happy if I was to give that out. But Corbis, for example, corbis.com, that's an archive photo agency. They have literally a million or so photos online. You can go on there and look up anything you want from the from disasters way back to things that are currently going on, sports, portraits, celebrities. And there is a good example. You don't need to get a membership there, but you can do searches for anything you're interested in. Now, great tip there, basically. Say, you're asked to shoot a sporting event, one that you've never shot before. Your friend of yours wants you to shoot a golfing tournament, and you have no clue as to how to shoot golf. Go to Corbis.com, type in golf, type in someone's name, and you know, who's famous in there, Tiger Woods, and you'll get wonderful examples of what there is to shoot, what opportunities there are to shoot for something like that. Type in Lakers or Kobe Bryant, and you'll get wonderful examples of different ways of shooting basketball. And you'll also notice that not every shot has the ball in it or puck in it. There's some wonderful ideas, creative ways of shooting it for angles and for reaction and things that happen on the bench. It's a great inspiration for ideas of ways to shoot.
So when you started out with photography, did you actually go about emulating your let's say, idols?
Yeah, I would say that. And a lot of what I've learned, I don't want to use the word self-taught because that just doesn't happen. What happens is that there are a lot of good people out there that spend quite a bit of time with you and help you out and give you advice and look at your work and give you suggestions. And there's been a lot of those photographers out there that have spent quite a bit of time with me, and I've tried to turn around and return the favor to other photographers that are coming up and spending time with them and giving them tips and ways to improve the way they shoot.
Well, this show is certainly a good way for you to do that.
Well, thank you. This is a wonderful show.
Thank you very much. Back to a bit more technical stuff. On the Monday show, I had some tips regarding, or some overview regarding the camera shooting modes. I'm just curious, what is the main shooting mode of your camera that you work in? Is that aperture priority or time priority?
That's a very good question. Actually, and each photographer is different. I've shot a lot in manual. I don't do it as much as I used to in the past, partially because I do trust the camera's metering modes that I'm shooting with. Most of the time, I shoot in aperture priority. I want to control that aperture. I want to control how the depth of field works. It's especially true when dealing with telephoto lenses. But I'll use all of them basically. I'll frequently use the shutter priority, which is what Nikon calls it, S for shutter priority, as opposed to right. T for time for Canon. I'll frequently shoot shutter priority when I'm doing outdoor flash fill. I just want to boost that thing up to the maximum shutter speed to get the most out of my flash when I'm mixing flash with available light. But even when I'm shooting aperture priority, I'm constantly looking at that shutter speed, making sure it doesn't go below where I want it to go. And almost never shoot program. As convenient as that is, and for your beginning users, yes, use it, particularly when you're trying to concentrate on a subject and you don't want to miss that moment. Go ahead and throw that thing in program, and there'll be other times where you'll be able to control what you're doing a little more on the technical side, but often concentrate on your subject there.
So I reckon you're never using auto mode on your camera.
Most of our cameras have program, shutter, priority, aperture priority, and manual. The point shoots more have that automatic right. mode you were talking about. And I'm noticing that that's becoming more and more common, which is good. It's another tool to use. I don't recommend people shy away from learning the various aspects of your camera and learn how to make that work for you.
And that's maybe like driving a car. First you learn on automatic car, and then later on you might want to switch to a stick shift car, right?
Yeah, exactly. When you're shooting different assignments, every assignment you shoot will throw you into situations where you're trying to figure out what tools to make that work. And you may have some feature on your camera that you haven't used in a while, but all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where it really comes in handy. say we're shooting concerts, for example, I almost never use the spot meter built into my camera. But there are certain times when I do need to throw that thing over to spot meter and meter what's going on with the face against that really black background. And in fact, in the old days, I had shot for the Orange County Register. I was a contract photographer there. And back then, before Photoshop and everything, they were going real heavy in color, which was a new thing for newspapers. And everything in color was shot with slides, chromes. And I shot everything in slides, which was would give me a heart attack right now, these days, because I'm not used to it, thinking about doing something like that. Because if you're a little off with slides, yeah, you can blow it out, and there's no getting that back. I shot everything. I shot concerts with spotlights in chromes, and now I think that I actually used to do that, which is amazing. But I was used to it back then, and you're using the tools that you worked with. So I use the spot meter much more often back then, as an example. Concerts are a particular special challenge in that they have this rule, which I don't quite understand where it came from or why the need for it is. But frequently, when you shoot a concert, you get the first two or three songs, and that's it. And after that, they kick you out. And so that's a pressure type thing. You're shooting. You get a couple songs and you know you're going to be kicked out of there any minute. So you're shooting away trying to come up with something that'll work for the paper and at the same time trying to look for something creative, even when they're not. Shot some concerts with people before where the whole first two songs was blue light and green light and no normal light at all. And they said, okay, you got to go now. And I had to make that work. But it's fun. It's fun. I come home. I show my kids what I do that day. You know, and sometimes they're impressed. Sometimes they're not. But when you come up with something that looks really good in the paper, it's something you're really proud of.
Cool. So, to conclude this interview, do you have any tips from the professional for the general audience? I know that I have some 5% professional listeners, but the rest is intermediate beginners and intermediate photographers. So do you have any tips for them?
Yeah, I've got a few of them. We'll start with the beginner. Tip number one, when shooting vertical with a point and shoot camera is using the built-in flash, turn that camera so the flash is on top of the lens, not the bottom of it. Not only is it a little more pleasing for the face, but you avoid that shadow on top of the head. Tip number two, last week I was shooting the opening of a new Buddhist temple in Long Beach when a woman came up to me and asked me to photograph her in front of the altar. So she handed me her point and shoot, and she walked over to the altar and stood right in front of it. And it's the normal thing to do, but she was really small in the photograph with these big, elaborate things in front of it. And so what I did basically is took the initiative, and I asked her to come about halfway toward me. She was wound up being a lot larger in the photograph, made a much better photograph as a result. It's also a good place to use the rules of thirds. It worked really well for that. Move on more to the intermediate photographer. Tip number three, the shutter speed rule when shooting with telephoto lenses. When shooting available light with telephoto, with a handheld telephoto 35mm lens with a single lens reflex cameras, the general rule is never shoot slower than the length of your lens to prevent soft photos from camera shake. For example, if you're in a situation where the light isn't quite what you want it to be and the highest shutter speed you can shoot with is 1/25th of a second, zoom out or use to say 100 millimeters. If you're shooting 200, bring it back a little bit and maybe get a little closer to your subject. That will prevent camera shake. You can break this rule and get away with it, but be aware when you're breaking the rule. Be careful. Maybe hold the camera still and try to brace yourself against something. Tip number four. A few years ago, Pentax had a television commercial for their point-and-shoot zoom cameras where they were showing people running back and forth with their cameras trying to get the shot. And their slogan for the commercial was something like, "Don't be a human zoom. Get our camera and stay where you are and let the camera do the zooming." Tip number four is be a human zoom. If the opportunity exists and you have the time and space to do so, step back and use a longer telephoto lens. The depth of field and compression effects you get with the longer telephoto lens will often give you a much more dramatic effect. Tip number five, I was talking about the photographer from National Geographic. Background, background, background. Keep an eye on that background. You're focusing on your subject, but take a look at that background. And if you've got to take a few steps to the left or right, if the opportunity exists, it will really make a big difference. And then when you position yourself, wait for that moment. Tip number six, a friend of mine, a co-worker of mine, actually, from the Press Telegram, Leo Hetzel. I played him your segment on the beanbag, and his eyes lit up, and he said, "Steve, I was telling you that for years, see?" So tip number five, bring your beanbag with you. It's a wonderful idea, and you give some ideas to work with on that.
Cool.
Last one for the advance, tip number seven. If you are lucky enough to have a job shooting for a living and someone offers you a promotion to work behind the desk, turn around and run for your life. Remember, it is always much more fun being behind the camera than behind a desk.
Steven, that was just great. I think I particularly liked that last one. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure, definitely.
That was Steven George, the chief photographer of the Press Telegram in Long Beach, California. And yeah, hopefully talk to you soon again. That was lots of fun. Thanks a lot. And I'll put a link to your website in the show notes so people can actually check out your photography.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Sure, you're welcome. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Tips from the top floor. Digital photography at its best.
Oh, what a long show we had today, but I'm sure you got something out of it for your everyday photography. I sure learned a lot of things from what Steven told us today. You won't talk it, I bet you won't. And I've put all the links that Steve mentioned into the show notes, together with a link to his own photography. And you should definitely check it out. He has some really wonderful pictures there. Looking at his site is a great way to get a lot of good inspiration. Thank you for listening to the show. Check out the website at tipsfromthetopfloor.com and send your feedback to info@tipsfromthetopfloor.com. My name is Chris Marquardt. If you didn't do it yet, make sure you subscribe to the show, and happy shooting!